Zephaniah chapter 3. This is the final chapter in Zephaniah. The title of this chapter I may give, The Day of the Lord and the Kingdom. Chapter 3 of Zephaniah could be divided into two important messages. One, the moral state of Israel, or woe to Jerusalem and the nations, Israel's restoration and blessing. That's number two. The moral state of Israel was very bad. Jerusalem was filthy. Chapter 3, verse 1 start like this. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. Jerusalem was known as a holy city where God was known, but now it was called a filthy city. In chapter 3, the prophet Zephaniah wanted to encourage people by giving them hope, so that they would submit to God's will and obey his commandment and would come to the covenant relationship with God. Zephaniah wanted to show the people how God was faithful to keep his promises, and one day he would establish his kingdom. Our God is faithful to forgive if we confess our sins. He will bless us. Zephaniah also wanted to give hope and encouragement to the faithful remnant in the land. They were true to God and suffered persecution because of their devotion to him. Jerusalem was an oppressing city. The government was unrighteous. Jerusalem means city of peace, but the city was guilty of rebellion and oppression. The city was filthy and polluted because of shameful sin. Jeremiah 5:23 states like this, but these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 6, God said, cut down the trees and build siege rams against Jerusalem. This city must be punished. It is filled with oppression. Zephaniah 3, verse 2 explains the moral nature of the people. They did not obey God, never trusted him. The people never accepted correction. They never wanted to draw near to God. Jeremiah 7:23, we see God's promise to his people. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, and it may go well with you. Verse 24 says, but they did not listen or pay attention. God was willing to accept them if they trusted him, but they were very stubborn. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 3, her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. God expected the civil and religious leaders of the land to lead the people in the way of righteousness. But they behaved like beasts. They oppressed the people and took what they wanted from them. They preyed on people. There was no justice. In Ezekiel 22:27, her officials within her are like wolves, tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Zephaniah 3:4 says that their prophets are arrogant and treacherous men. Their priests polluted the sanctuary and violated the laws. They were to preserve the purity of the sanctuary. Instead, they polluted it. The prophets were unfaithful to the Lord and His word. They mistreated the people. They did not proclaim God's truth. Prophet Ezekiel talked about the evil priests. Chapter 22, verse 26. Their priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. It is interesting to note that Prophet Malachi gave admonitions to the priest. Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. God is righteous, verse 5. He will not do iniquity. He fails no one. He is God of right judgment. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every new day he does not fail. The people who do unrighteousness know no shame. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Psalm 22:15, the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Verse 6 of chapter 3, God was telling his people how he judged the Gentiles and cut off nations. Their strongholds were demolished and their streets were deserted. Their cities were destroyed. He was able to cut Judah off as well. God was hoping that his own people would listen to him and fear him and accept correction. Verse 7, then he would have been protecting them. No punishment would have come upon them. But the Jews were guiltier than were the Gentiles, because God gave them more truth and blessings. The people were sinning against God. They saw how God punished other nations, but they did not pay any attention. Prophet Jeremiah was asking the question in chapter 9:12. What man is wise enough to understand this? Who has been instructed by the Lord and can explain it? Why has the land been ruined and laid waste like a desert that no one can cross? In verse 13, the Lord answered, it is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. God told Prophet Isaiah how his people were hard-hearted against their God. Chapter 6:9 says, the people would do ever hearing. The people would be ever hearing, but never understanding. They would be ever seeing, but never perceiving. People's hearts had become calloused. Hosea chapter 9, verse 9, they have sunk deep in corruption, as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. In Leviticus, God told the Israelites how they would be punished if they disobey him. Chapter 26, verse 31, I will turn your cities into ruins and lay waste your sanctuaries. I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. Israel was a privileged people. They were God's covenant people, and he would protect them from their enemies. But they forgot the fact that covenant privileges also involved covenant responsibilities. Judgment of the Gentiles, chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day I will stand up to testify. I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce anger. The whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. God was describing a courtroom scene in which he stands to testify against his people. There was also a hint of end times, Battle of Armageddon, when the nations of the world come against Jerusalem. God would pour out his wrath upon these nations and deliver his people. He would establish his kingdom. Zechariah chapter 14 describes the events that would happen when the Lord comes on the Mount of Olives and fight against the nations and the establishment of his kingdom. Therefore, wait for me, verse 8. Here the Lord was telling to wait for his time. Prophet Habakkuk complained to the Lord for delaying his judgment against the wicked. The Lord answered him in chapter 2, verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Matthew Henry's commentary states like this, therefore wait ye upon me, said the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. I quote. In Ezekiel chapter 38, it describes how God was going to punish Gog, who came against Israel. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. Verse 16. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord. Verse 18. I will execute judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him, and on his troops, and on the many nations with him. Verse 22. Next, we saw the cleansing of Israel and Gentiles. Then will I purify the lips of the people, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Chapter 3, 9. Instead of calling on their false gods, the Gentiles will call upon the true and living God and have their lips purified. Cleansed lips indicate forgiven sin and clean heart. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 18. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan or Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. Isaiah 57:19, create praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Psalm 22:27 declares, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, serve him shoulder to shoulder. Verse 9. People will serve the Lord as one people and no longer be divided. Verse 10 says, from beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, my scattered people will bring me offerings. Cush is the Upper Nile region. God of Israel will be Lord of all the earth. The Gentile nations will honor and serve him. The scattered Israelites will return to their land. The worshippers will bring the Lord offerings. Psalm 68:31. Prince shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. That's in King James Version. Isaiah 60, verse 6 and 7. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. The death of Jesus on the cross destroyed the middle wall of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. Both Jew and Gentiles can share the spiritual blessing that come through. Faith in Christ, come through the faith in Christ. This miracle of God's grace will be demonstrated in the kingdom age as the Gentiles trust and worship the God of Israel. Zephaniah 3:11. God promised to Zephaniah that on that day you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill. The Jews will not be put to shame. When they see Jesus, they will mourn over their transgressions and confess their sins, and they will be saved. Zechariah 12:10 says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. There would be no place on God's holy hill for proud sinners who think they can earn God's salvation by their good works. Isaiah 45:17, but Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting. I will remove from the city those who rejoice in their pride. Verse 11. Isaiah 2:12 says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. King James Version. The people would not be haughty on God's holy hill. They would not show pride and scorn. Ezekiel 20:40 says that on the holy mountain, the entire house of Israel will serve God, and they will bring offerings and gifts to the Lord along their holy sacrifices. In verse 12 and 13 of chapter 3, God said he would keep the believing remnant because they were meek and humble, who trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant was upright people, and they speak no lies, no deceit in their mouth. They live in peace. Faith in Christ will make a person new. All love of adultery will take away from their heart. No more idols in their life, and they do not practice deception. All their enemies are defeated. And so they are able to enjoy their meals and sleep in peace. When God establishes his kingdom and Christ reigns over the nations, there will be peace and life everywhere. Israel's restoration and blessing. In verse 14 of chapter 3, God was telling Israel to sing and rejoice. God was calling them daughter of Zion and daughter of Jerusalem. It shows God as a loving mother singing over her children and finding joy in their presence. The children of Israel, God sing and shout because of all that God has done for them. He has taken away their sins and punishment. He defeated their enemies. People have nothing to fear, verse 15. When people are holy, that will make them happy. Those that love God with all their heart are privileged to rejoice in him. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gently and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Revelation chapter 18 describes the fall of Babylon. Verse 20 says, rejoice over her, O heaven, rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26 to 28, God promised his people that he will dwell with them and the people will live in peace. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Verse 27. Verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3, God again reaffirmed his people always with them and there is no reason for fear and anyone. Verse 17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. There is no reason to fear anyone. Verse 17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. They have God's presence with them and God's power working for them. He quiets them with his love and he even sings to them. The picture of a loving mother holding her baby. At the same time, he is mighty to save. Isaiah 63:1, who is this coming from Edom, from Basra, with his garments stained crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Isaiah 25:9, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, he trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Our God is coming to redeem his people. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. I quote from Isaiah 35:4. Verse 18 of chapter 3 says, the sorrows for the appointed feast I will remove from you. They are a burden and reproach to you. The Jews were captives in Babylon for 70 years. After 70 AD, they were dispersed worldwide among the Gentiles. They were not able to celebrate their appointed feast. They had no temple, altar, priesthood, or sacrifice. These feasts will be restored in kingdom age. Zechariah 14:16, then survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the feast of tabernacles. Jews were used to go to the temple three times a year to celebrate feasts, but the temple and the altar were all destroyed by the enemies. Psalm 42 gives the picture how the Jews felt about their fate. Verse 3 and 4 of 42 go like this. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. God promised the grieving Israelites that he would wipe away their tears and would bring back their celebrations of Feast of Tabernacles during the kingdom age. Verse 19 of chapter 3 says, at that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. God promised that he will deal with all the nations who oppressed Israel. God will recover the captives out of the hands of their oppressors. God will break the power of the oppressors, rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. God will make all the other nations to honor Israel, and they will praise him, praise them. Micah chapter 4, 6, in that day they declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. Isaiah 60, 14, the sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Zechariah 8, 23, the Lord Almighty said, in those days, ten men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. The last verse in Zephaniah 3:20 conclude like this, at that time I will gather you, at that time I will bring you home, I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. I will bring you home. That was God's gracious promise. Once the Jewish people brought shame and disgrace to God's name, but now Israel will bring honor and praise to the Lord their God. Israel will receive honor from the Gentiles and give the glory to the Lord. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth, I quote. This is the fulfillment of Israel's destiny, as stated in Deuteronomy 26:19. I quote, he has declared that he will set you in praise, fame and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised. When God establishes his kingdom on earth, he will restore his people, renew the land, and give his people a new beginning that causes them to forget their past disobedience and focus on praising the Lord and glorifying his name. As Christians, we can rejoice that we will be part of the kingdom and be with the Lord forever and ever. Praise the Lord.